Hello and welcome to episode 21 of Life in Hex. I'm Gelada.
And I'm Saffron.
And we've got a real gaming-packed show today.
Yay. Well, thing is, the E3 lull really died off.
It has.
So, we've got lots of gaming to do.
Yeah, because E3 was in...
May.
And it's just about died down now. The demos are being released now for the games that are
all
about to
come
out.
All the games, the demos and their betas and everything. So, we've got... We've got the demos. So, which means we've got a lot to talk about.
Indeed we have. Which means, and also because nothing much is going on in the Life in Hex backstage world, is that we've got no housekeeping.
No housekeeping at all this time, because nothing's really changed. I mean...
So, should we move on to the live section?
Might as well.
Okay.
And for once, I have life and you don't.
Yep.
Yay.
I know.
I've been saying it for God knows how many shows now, or... like every show that I plan to get a new computer. However, the time has come and I have ordered the new computer.
Indeed you have.
I have well, Gelada has helped me name it
Echo. I'll put some big reverb on that.
And just like an echo, it's not coming anywhere near me.
Yeah,
it is. I'm getting some real trouble with delivery at the moment.
I mean, it was only a little bit of trouble. I think overclockers.co.uk were delayed at like... For some reason, they didn't dispatch that evening, which they usually do. And because you'd ordered it on a Thursday, it meant it's not come because...
They dispatched it on the Friday and...
Yeah. If you'd known, you would have got the Saturday delivery.
Oh, yeah, I would have paid the extra £10 and got the Saturday delivery.
Exactly.
But, you live and learn, and it'll look like I'll be getting until Monday now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I checked on the website earlier at work, and it was still en route, so I can't go and pick it up now.
It's very odd. Okay, so, but it's going to be good, isn't it?
Oh, yes. It should be the price.
Yep, it's Intel E6-700.
It's the Core 2 Duo E6-700.
2GB of RAM...
2GB XMS2 6400C5 RAM.
Yeah. An ATR Radeon X1900. Is there
XT.
XT.
Not the XTX.
Not the XTX, no. They're just...
XTX is way too expensive.
XTS is the old... It's the old, you know, the top one is like £200 more simply because you can say that you've got the £200 more one.
Yeah. It's extreme amount of price. Don't get me wrong, the benchmarks are quite nice for it. They are nicer benchmarks, but it's not worth the price.
Mm-hmm.
I've been having other trouble with it, don't forget. Case.
Oh, yeah, of course, with the case being...
I'm getting a thermal take shock.
Mm-hmm, which is now 2 weeks. It's going to be out of stock.
Around two weeks at least, so...
I'd say they either had an immense popularity problem or they had a manufacturing problem or a combination of the both.
Yeah, because, I mean, the silver one's still in stock.
Yeah.
Everyone's still got the silver ones, but I want the black one, like
of course,
everyone else.
Because... silver and blue doesn't really go as well as black and blue.
No. The black and blue really looks really nice, and the Thermaltake Shark looks really nice
case.
Well, so.
You know, this is blue on the front
here,
and it looks
good.
Eyes
so.
Got blue on the front, so, yeah. Okay, for both of us, we were going back to college/school. It's really depressing, isn't it? Final year.
Well, yes and no. I mean, I'm kind of looking forward to going back because, I mean, even though I moan about it, I do enjoy college. I mean, I enjoy learning. But I keep saying this to myself. Well, I'm not specific, you know what I mean. I keep thinking this, right? It's not that I don't like education. I like learning things. I hate the tests and I hate the pressure they put on you to, you know, do these tests and everything. I love to be taught things and I love to learn things, but I don't like all these damn examinations you have to take. It's last year, so, you know, the last year of my AS studies or A2 studies and... going to concentrate a bit better this year because I've not got as many distractions at college because a lot of my friends have left. So some of my classes are going to be a lot smaller.
Yeah,
as well, so.
I haven't really had much contact with the people at my school/college, you know, sixth form, whatever.
Yeah.
So I don't know who's going to be there and who's not.
Well, Pro's going to be there.
Yeah, obviously I know like the people we know like Mitch and Pern and that are going to be there. But I don't know, you know, what the percentages of the amount of people that are
going
to be going
back.
Okay, so that's our live section.
Yep.
Okay, moving on. We're going to move on to the anime section now.
Yep, got some anime coming. Didn't have an anime section last month.
No, we didn't.
Or last fortnight, rather.
But you've got a review.
Got a forum-based review this show. So plugs to the people on the forum for giving us this review.
Yeah,
and we got some really nice anime-esque news, because mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a rather long anime section.
Yeah, it could be. So we're going to have the anime section now, and then we'll have the music, and then we'll cut to like the gaming and the
yep,
tech. And
yep.
that's
so
okay. Now, everyone, Mix Wizard should have skipped by now. He should have gone, oh my god, no, not the anime section. So he should have now skipped and tried to find the music and then gone after that. And that's where we're actually going to have the anime section. We're going to do the gaming section now, and then we're going to have anime and tech.
Forcing him to miss his favourite section
and then
listen to
basically
his
favourite. Basically, we're going to own Mix, basically.
So he's going to get rather annoyed at me, and he's probably going to do anything to you because he hates me.
We don't care. Hopefully he has skipped. If he hasn't skipped, then
this is just,
we're the ones being completely boned. But nevertheless, it's worth the risk. So actually, we've got the gaming section now, so I will just scroll the show notes. We even faked the show notes in the wrong order.
Just to prove it to Nick.
Okay, so moving on to the gaming section. Okay, so we're going to move on to the gaming section. Honestly now, we are seriously...
real gaming section. Anime time! No, I'm kidding. we've got quite a lot of gaming section, like we said earlier, and like we said we would last show. And our first little, this is a little bit of news really, isn't it? Is the new BF2 patch is out.
Yeah,
patch 1.4, which is a big patch.
It is.
And it's changing a lot of things.
It's changed quite a lot of things. And what I've done on the show notes is I've just sort of picked out the, you know,
the key things that really changed the gameplay.
That changed the gameplay, yeah. So first of all, there's a new map.
The new map, it's, is it something like...
Something about jelly.
No, it's not jelly. You should know it. I mean, it almost sounds like your name.
Yeah, it's Jalagadad
or something.
Jalalabad or something like that.
Jalabad. Yeah, it's
Jalabad. That's it.
It's like something at Jalabad or Jalabad something.
Strike at Jalabad.
Yeah, like Strike at Karkand. Yep. It's quite a city-based map.
It is. A bit like Strike at
Karkand. Very like Strike at Karkand or Shiraki Peninsula.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one main road in the whole thing, so driving the tank is not easy.
No, it's not.
And there's only one vehicle between the other teams. So.
But we played it on co-op mode, didn't we, on 16 players?
It was difficult.
It was difficult.
We both had... We only had a bots on normal difficulty level, but we're having, you know, troubles winning.
One of the other things that's quite big, but I don't expect many servers to take it up, is that they've added an infantry-only option.
Now, I personally think this is a godsend to the game. Because I've countlessly gone into a server on BF2 when I've been around here or whatever... And I thought, right, log into a server, you know, play around for a bit, maybe use my sniper because I've, you know, I'm getting quite proficient with a sniper rifle. Only to have a tank drive over my head or a copter constantly spawn camp me or anything like that. Now, this infantry only thing is really going to add more, like, you know, tactics to the game because instead of it being everyone just calls the vehicles and the vehicles are really what, you know, kills people, it's going to be infantry versus infantry. So no side, no, like, one side has the advantage because they need the vehicles or whatever.
Mm. So, out of interest, what happens if you're on Gulf of Oman on 64 players in your US?
Maybe they'll add boats and transport helicopter.
I just don't think it'll be enabled. I don't think you'll be able to go onto it. But the only servers I can see taking this up are the ones that do the 24/7 city maps, like Strike at Karkand and that. Because obviously it'll be an added advantage to them because it makes everything a bit more infantry based.
I mean, we've played
a lot more infantry based.
We've played, you know, Strike at Karkand on co-op, and we've noticed that the bots just all they do bring the tank along. By the time we killed the tank, they bring a, you know,
an
APC along or a Vodnik along, and by the time you kill that, they bring another tank along. So.
Yep.
This infantry-based stuff will really make it a lot more fairer, I think.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more interesting as well.
Mm-hmm. The other things, we'll just quickly go through these, because obviously they're the two main things. They've re-enabled unlocks on unranked servers, so if you've got unlocks, they will now work on unranked servers as well as ranked servers. I'm assuming from the re-enable that they did used to have that. I think at the start they had that, and then they disabled it. Now they've re-enabled it. On the co-op, if you have a local server, if the server host is kicked and banned... Although they don't actually get kicked because they're hosting the game, no other players may join the server after that point. Now, we said this would be a problem at the LANs.
Yeah, because, I mean, we were playing around at the LAN. We were playing on the air show custom map we downloaded.
Yep.
And we were just messing around, weren't we?
And team killing.
And we were just, you know, sometimes accidentally team killing, sometimes purposely team killing.
Yep.
But sometimes, you know, people might, you know, do it on purpose. Or accidentally press the punish button.
Yeah.
You know, even though it's not going to make any difference because it's a co-op game between the LAN.
Mm-hmm.
But if you press the punish button, it kicks you and bans you.
Yeah. And so now, if you do that to the server host, so like when we were playing, DeFay was like constantly team killing you, wasn't he? And then... Like you, eventually it got a point where you're accidentally pressing no, and so it kicked and banned him, but he can't be kicked and banned. that would have actually stopped the rest of us getting in the game. Now, I can't quite see why they've done this, especially as it's local server. Who cares?
I don't think it makes any sense. Maybe there's some reason behind it.
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't think it's going to affect most people, but it will affect us slightly. We're just going to have to be careful.
A couple of other things are C4's harder to throw.
I mean, the C4 harder to throw thing is very... It has
more
realism.
Did you notice it? You were using C4. Did you notice it at all?
A little bit, but I don't really throw it so much because I'm not great at throwing it as it is.
Well, you can't much anymore now anyway because you can't fire stuff while you're jumping.
I didn't know Stinko was far. Mm. I had to jump upwards, not sprint jump, obviously. Mm. I had to jump upwards to be able to throw it forward, you know, instead of just dropping it down on something. Mm-hmm. So I think it's made it, you know, a bit heavier almost. Mm-hmm. But it has more realism to the game. I mean, C4 isn't supposed to be thrown like a grenade, you know. I mean, you could do, but it's not supposed to be.
Mm. The other thing is that they've increased the armor of all transport helicopters, which is always a good thing, you know.
I think transport helicopters are underused in the game.
Yeah.
And the reason being is because they shot down so damn easy.
Well, they made it a lot easier to shoot down aircraft, which almost made it a bit biased in favor of land-based missiles, like always hitting, regardless of whatever you try to do.
Yeah, I mean, we've done it. You know, we play on Dale and Plant when we're playing on the helicopter. The anti-air missile, you know, ground-to-air missiles.
Even if I fired countermeasures, it will still hit.
They're just insane. They just and they wreck helicopters. Mm. So
increasing the armor is definitely a good thing. Maybe it'll make people use it a bit more.
It'll also stop people in Vodniks and I don't know, the US counterpart version of their Jeep is shooting them down with the Top Gun. I mean, hell, me and you were playing on the earlier, and I was shooting you for a bit of a laugh with that gun turret.
Yeah,
I was almost killing.
Yeah, you practically killed me. Okay, so that's the Battlefield 2 1.4 patch. I did have some trouble downloading it. I started downloading it and then cancelled it and forgot to resume it. And then when I went back, I could not find it on any, like, normal mirrors. So I couldn't find it on the EA servers. I don't think they're actually on them. I almost thought that there was a recall. I was getting, like, file not found on everywhere. So in the end, Xfire had actually downloaded it for me anyway.
Good old Xfire.
So I think GameAsHell.com still had one up of it, but other than that, like, most places had somehow magically lost it.
Maybe there's a torrent for it somewhere.
Yeah, there probably is. Okay, so we got some first impressions now of three games. And they are of Company of Heroes.
Dark Crusade.
And Just Cause.
Mm.
Mm. So we'll start with Company of Heroes. Now, I downloaded the multiplayer beta for this just before the single player demo came out. And started to play it online.
Mm-hmm.
Gave it a bit of a go. It's a World War II RTS. Now, the World War II RTS genre is a bit packed at the moment with World War II games.
Not just the RTS, everything, you know, for FPS, you've got all the...
Call of Duty.
Call of Duty, Medal of Honor, etc., etc. Yeah.
World War II is a bit overdone.
World War II is very much used in the gaming world.
Yeah. Now, but I think the reason that they used it, and the reason that they say they used it, and the reason that their marketing department says that they used it, is because they introduce a lot of new ideas to the genre.
Yeah.
You know, they introduce the whole, you know, your units use cover automatically and all this sort of thing, and et cetera, et cetera. You know, because they introduced all of these things, they needed to have something that people were familiar with.
Mm.
So instead of going for a fantasy genre or something like that, where people have to actually learn about the whole system, as you know, the whole
universe
and everything.
Exactly. They use the World War II environments,
which everyone knows,
yeah.
And so people can just focus on, you know, the new parts of the game, the new parts
and
of the RTS.
They can enjoy the
genre.
Gameplay, yes.
Yeah. So I think that's why they did it, and, you know, it's no bad thing, you know, in World War II you've got lots of explosions, so you can show off particle physics.
Well, in World War II, you know, it really happens, so you can have real-life units, thus you can be really accurate the way things work and everything, so, and there's all the, you know, you've already got the two races, so to speak, you
exactly.
know,
Axis and Allies.
So,
So obviously, you know, I think everyone who is interested at the moment in PC gaming probably has heard a little about Company of Heroes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's made by Relic, and they did Homeworld. They set the boundary with space RTS with Homeworld. You know, they
made the first real 3D RTS.
They can come from above game. And they've also done like Impossible Creatures. And they did Dawn of War, of course.
I mean, they're really good. Relic are a really good studio.
And all of the games that they've done, which I think have pretty much all been RTS, I think they might have done an FPS.
They've done a few games that are less known. I mean, I don't know off the top of my head myself, but I'm sure they have done. But the most known ones are mostly RTS games.
Yeah. And every RTS game that they've done something new. So in Homeworld, it was the whole 3D thing. And in Dawn of War, it was the capture points.
It was the capture points. It was the squad-based battles instead of, you know, general whatever units. Yep. It was, you know, the whole idea of it being smaller-based stuff instead of army-based
and
stuff.
Even little things like you could assign commanders to squads and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You never had that before,
it was just
really.
These new little things that weren't... That, you know, you take for granted once you start playing the game.
And again, they went with an environment that people knew. They went with...
Warhammer,
yeah. Which, you know, a lot of people who play games are familiar with the Warhammer environment, just like a lot of people who play PC games are, you know a little bit about Dungeons & Dragons because
exactly.
They play RPGs. So it's clear where Relic are going with this. But, you know, we could go through things and say, like, the graphics are, you know, absolutely
well, of course they
amazing,
are,
you know.
That's a given, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's comparable to AoE 3, but better. Because in AoE 3, you had, like, destructible buildings, but they were scripted destructible. In this, they are destructible, you know, depending on what you shoot.
It's all real-time stuff, so...
So, you know... I mean, we both had a go, didn't you? You played it on Higara and I played
against you and you kicked my ass.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I think I remember last show I said it, or I might have just said it to you. I said it's either going to make or break.
Yeah.
Right? Like I've said about BF2142. Mm-hmm. But I think after I've played it, I really think it's going to make.
Yeah.
It's really going to work.
I'd agree.
It's the squads... are an interesting way, you know, it saves you having to build, you know, individual units just like you did in Dawn of War.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that because I like Dawn of War.
Mm-hmm.
The general idea of capturing points adds a lot more strategy to the game because, like, me and you were playing it, and you know, I said, why don't you go and capture that point? You said, well, I can't because if I do that, I've not got a supply run.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so you've really got to think about where you capture, whereas in Dawn of War, it was more just capture the points.
And not only that, but going back to you know, standard RTS, you haven't actually got a sort of territory-based system. You know, you can make your own territory, you know, like you can wall something off or whatever. But in Company of Heroes and in Dawn of War, you know, you're given that, you know, once you especially in Company of Heroes, because if you look at the tactical map, you've got those sort of...
It gives you the areas where it says, this is your area.
And, you know, you can easily see the defendable positions, like there might be a gate, you know, a gate pass or something like
that.
Like
that map we were playing on, the only two-player map on the multiplayer demo...
Mm-hmm.
The obvious places for me to defend and for you to attack and defend against me attacking were the bridges.
Yeah.
Because they're such a choke point.
So, I mean, that's really good. Definitely, you know, yeah, it's definitely a new... I think Company of Heroes is going to, you know, it's another marker point for RTS. It's another development.
The only thing that I would say about it, and you've said it to me as well, is that you're going to get maybe quite a lot of people moaning about it because there's no micro, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean... There's some micro.
There is some micro, like the tanks, for example. I mean, I was trying to do a bit, failed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're trying to use the, you know, tanks to shoot from behind so they get rear armor shots and having your men make sure they go right behind your cover.
But I think for tanks and for vehicles, there is micro. But for your men themselves, you can't really micro them because...
They have a lot more mind of their own.
If you tell them to go into cover, they'll use the cover properly. And, you know, if you tell them to attack a unit... And then you tell them to move into cover. They'll move into cover and continue attacking.
While attacking. So it's almost like they've got a queue system for their commands. Because, like, if you go to a standard RTS, let's take AoE 2, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really good standard RTS, right? It's the basis of all RTS.
Mm-hmm.
If you tell, I don't know, a swordsman to go and attack a building, but then see an archer coming towards you, and you tell him to attack the archer by going in cover or something, he's not going to do it. He's just going to attack the archer and then forget about attacking the building, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know, whereas in Company of Heroes, if you tell your men to attack a unit while telling them to go into cover, it'll attack the units and while they're going to cover.
Yeah.
So it puts the commands together.
Yeah, which is another thing that they kind of did in Dawn of War. You know, if you were moving along, it would shoot while you're moving.
You had to be more specific about it in Dawn of War because, like, you had to use the attack move stance, for example. But in Company of Heroes, you don't need to use that nearly as much.
Mm. The other thing was that you can see, again, they sort of develop things from Dawn of War. It's so based on Dawn of War, isn't it? It's so obvious.
I reckon they've, like...
They took
the Dawn of War engine to begin with, changed it what they needed to change it to, and then redid it from there. That's why you can see so much Dawn of War in it.
And also, like, in the videos from E3, the sounds when you captured points were Dawn of War sounds,
They were Dawn of War sounds, yeah.
So, you know, it's so Dawn of War. I mean, in Dawn of War, you began to have the cover thing, didn't you? You know, you used to be able to put your men into craters and
into
things.
Different levels of cover, but
not in the same way.
Too much,
and
you know, it's useful,
way.
But...
It slowed them down as well when they were in cover.
A little bit,
it?
Yeah.
It wasn't very good.
But Comedy of Heroes is a lot more based on this. But that perhaps that's because Comedy of Heroes is more realistic.
Yeah, and so...
Because, you know, your men really would go into cover, whereas in the 41st millennium, you know, maybe not so much.
Yeah. Okay, so that's Company of Heroes. We urge everyone to go and check out the 1.8 gigabyte single player demo and the 1.8 gigabyte multiplayer beta. You can't have both.
Multiplayer is probably going to be better right here because it gives you more, you know, variation.
I think it's actually out in the US now. But if you put the single player demo and the multiplayer beta together, you get the game.
Yeah.
There is actually no difference because the single player demo has no campaign, but it has full skirmish, full use of all units, all. You know, there's only Axis and Allies. And then the multiplayer beta has full multiplayer access except LAN. So you've practically got the game if you put the two together. So, okay.
But it's coming out soon, so hey.
It is coming out very soon.
And of course, when it does come out in the UK, we'll be reviewing it.
Yeah, we will, because
probably.
I've pre-ordered it with my wrong expiry date. And have you?
I haven't pre-ordered it yet, but I will be buying it,
yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so moving on, staying within the Relic Production House.
And the RTS Production
And the RTS
House.
Production House. We got some first impressions of Warhammer 40,000 Dawn of War Dark Crusade expansion.
I've just realised this. Relic have been busy bunnies, haven't they?
Yeah, they have.
Jeez, they've pumped out a brand new game and a massive expansion.
You know what will happen next?
What?
We'll have Homeworld 3.
Dude, that'd be so awesome.
Can you imagine?
Oh, dude, Homeworld's such a great series. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's not like go off into one of our MMO type things.
Homeworld. Neverwinter Nights 2.
No. Let's not go there. Withdrawal symptoms.
Yep. So Warhammer 40,000 Dawn of War Dark Crusade expansion, shortened to Dark Crusade, is adds two new races. Two completely new races to the Dawn of War. Adds a whole new single player campaign. Adds a Risk style Conquer the Planet type thing,
which I really love. I mean, you remember Rise of Nations had it?
Yeah,
loved it. I always used to play on
exactly.
That.
And also adds a new unit for each of the previous races. So we've had a play of this, the demo, which gives you the control of the Tau versus the Space Marine, which is set on like uber easy mode.
Yes, yeah, it's well. You're saying that.
you had trouble, but...
I only had 2 minutes before they were going to win from domination of the map using control points.
Yeah.
But hey, that's not the point.
And, this is a very short first impression because they really have limited the demo.
They didn't show you much. They showed you some of the Tau, none of the Necron. Oh, we didn't actually say what the races were, what we just did.
Yeah, Tau and the Necron are the two new races.
In a minute, we'll talk about briefly what the different races were.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, they only showed you like the Tau infantry and one vehicle and that sort of thing. Showed you a little bit of the crew. But it gives you an idea of the Tau being a very shooty army.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, like you said, you know, your basic fire warriors, which is your basic man in the Tau army, against a basic squad of Space Marines, you'll kick the Space Marines' asses and you'll lose maybe one man.
Yeah, and also they have amazing range if you
when you
upgrade
them. When you completely upgrade them, their range is insane.
But the disadvantage of the Tau is the Tau don't have any hand-to-hand. Obviously the crew do, which is the people that they've like hired, mercenary type people.
Yeah.
Well, people in the, you know, the loosest sense
they've
of people.
They've hired them.
Yeah. But also you have to build so many buildings to get upgrades.
They're a very techie race.
Yeah, so you have to build loads and loads of buildings just to get like this first vehicle
or
whatever.
Yeah, it's hard. Their weakness is they're expensive and slow. I thought the Imperial Guard were the slowest, and they really are because, you know, they get so many weak units until they really get to third tech level.
Mm-hmm.
But the Tau are really slow. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, they make up for that, obviously, because they have powerful units. So.
Yep.
We can't really talk about the Necron, though, because we don't know anything about the Necron.
Yeah, but it's going to be a good game. There was some sort of discussion about it being like a full standalone type thing, but then that was squashed by gameplay. I'm not sure what they're going to do. But I'm certainly going to be buying it. So look out for that again coming out in about a month.
There's no changes to anything apart from additional stuff.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, there might be a few back-endy type things, but the actual gameplay is fundamentally the same.
It's identical, really.
Mm. Lastly, we have some first impressions of a game called Just Cause.
Now, this was recommended to us by the Shamus on the forum.
And he's obviously he's an Xbox and an Xbox 360 fan, and Just Cause is an Xbox and an Xbox 360 game.
And it really shows it on the really PC demo.
It really does show. It's a free-form adventure where you play as like a CIA operative, but yet the police are after you. I didn't quite understand that.
It's like you help rebels, even though, you know, you're
I'm sure there's some underlying story, but you can't quite pick it up in the demo.
And generally, in these kind of games, no one cares about the story.
Yeah. And it's very, very, very similar to Grand Theft Auto, San Andreas, and that
sort
of thing.
Well, it's very GTA 3 plus, etc. Yeah,
etc. You know, you've got the vehicles, which handle like crap, and you've got, you know, the interesting thing was that in GTA, you only had a couple of times where you could have like a heli and stuff.
Yeah.
But in this, I think they're even putting like Boeing 737s that you can drive.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking to the Shamus on MSN, and he was, you know, rattling off all the stuff you could do. And it's like, you can fly Boeing 737s, you can use helicopters almost all the time.
Speedboats and stuff.
Speedboats, you could use, I think he said you could use some kind of, like, personal flight thing,
right,
other than your parachute.
Like a yeah.
We'll go on to that in a minute.
Mm.
Which is insane what you can use.
And it does look big. I mean, even just the demo bit is like a small island, and if you look at the map, you can see where like the rest is going to be.
Well, the Sharma said something about...
It's going to be the largest game yet.
Yeah, Bolivia was something like 17 square miles or something, and this is going to be like 25 square miles. So if you can imagine Bolivian... And then add on...
But on Oblivion, you could only walk or ride your horse. On this, you can drive a car, so that kind of reduces it a little bit. God, imagine a car in Oblivion. That would be funny.
That'd scare the wizards and the horses.
Yep. But it did look nice, but one of the hugest things I noticed in the demo, it was unbelievably buggy. It really was. Mm. I mean, every time I've played it, it's crashed. I don't think I've ever quit out of it, as in properly quit.
Yeah, properly let it quit.
Every time I've quit, it's crashed.
There's problems with the system itself, you know, the engine. But then there's also gameplay problems,
like
bugs.
When you're driving a car and it went into a mission cutscene, when you came back, you were hurtling through the air like
a
rocket.
My car was in the air, going so fast, I was traveling across half the map in about 3 seconds.
I mean, what the hell? I mean, it was funny. It
was funny
as hell.
I laughed my ass off, and I just crash landed in this tree, and then you have died. Yeah. Really?
You don't surprise me. Hurtling at Mach 3 in
of
a
course,
vehicle.
Of course, the solution to this is simply to press E, and you get out your parachute.
That's the other insane thing. Like stunt mode, when you're on a vehicle, you can press a button, you're driving along, if you're driving fast enough, and you will like propel yourself out of the out of the window and jump up onto the bonnet.
And then
even though you're hurtling along at like 80 miles an hour, you just like fling yourself out.
You can even steer
while
you're
on
the
bonnet.
Bonnet.
You lean like... And then you can get your parachute out and hurtle into the air.
You go up.
You'd
like
get a whiplash if you did that. Your neck would just snap off.
I think your body would snap.
But not only that, but while you're in a parachute, you can press a button and you will jump onto the nearest car, even though it's going at a completely different
speed.
The
car comes to a complete stop, even though you haven't touched it yet, lets you land normally and just jumps into the window.
It's funny. It's funny as hell.
It's so unrealistic.
And you could like jump off cliffs and, you know, parachute yourself down and parachute into a plane. And
do you remember after I landed on my car and I survived that one time?
Yeah.
And I needed to get back to the helicopter thing. I said, right, I'll just kill myself. I kept just jumping off the cliff and landing on my head. I wasn't dying.
So it's a funny game.
It's a hell of a fun game.
But I don't know. I mean, the graphics were supposed to be heralded as really good. But apart from the motion blur, which is like typical Xbox 360 motion blur,
a little bit over top.
It's very similar to Need for Speed Carbon looks
like.
Yeah,
it is.
But yeah, even the graphics weren't that, you know, they weren't anything to sing praises about.
No, they weren't really.
I mean, they were all right, but, you know.
The explosion physics were quite nice.
The explosion effects were really nice, but again, they could take advice from someone like Fear or something.
Fear has nice
explosions. I mean, Fear explosions are just awesome. So, I mean, that's what we think. I think it's a fun game.
It's a good game. We're not knocking it. Honestly, God, we're not knocking it. We're just saying it is really funny.
But it does ooze console. You know,
it's more of a console game than a PC game.
But people who like GTA will like this.
They'll love this, yeah.
You know, people always whinged about GTA. You know, you could have more vehicles and stuff. I mean, this has got the more vehicles.
It's a freeform game, which you're just going to have fun in. And it's really going to just be a really good, fun game.
And I think if it gets some good reviews, I would get it. I would be tempted to get it. Because just for the fun aspect.
Or I really
like,
see it coming under attack by like people like Jack Thompson.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's just like GTA, but
typical stuff.
Worse.
Yeah, even worse. Yeah, I suppose. But anyway, so that's the first impressions of Just Cause. Last little thing, we just need to run through this. This is a list of the systems that Need for Speed Carbon is going to be coming out, because we did our first impressions thing.
And we said it's going to come out of those systems, but we weren't 100% sure on what it was coming out
at the time.
So,
the Sharmas gave us this little list. So the list of the Need for Speed Carbon games are the Xbox 360.
The Xbox.
PlayStation 3.
PlayStation 2.
PSP.
Nintendo Wii.
Nintendo GameCube.
Nintendo GBA.
Nintendo DS.
PC.
And mobile phones. So that's like everything that has a screen, basically.
Pretty much. I'm actually surprised. I'm not saying this to make a joke. I'm surprised it did not make in a PSX version of it.
Yeah.
The original PlayStation.
PlayStation 1, yeah. Also, in the first impressions, we talked about the Canyon Run type thing, didn't we, mm-hmm. in Need for Speed Carbon. And there has actually been a similar function in Need for Speed Underground 2 and possibly Underground, I'm not sure, which was an outrun thing, which was when you're in career mode and you spotted another, like, underground racer,
yeah.
you could have a little outrun, which just basically was a race in anywhere in the city that you were in. It's not the same as the Canyon Run.
It's nowhere near the same, but it's similar.
Because in Canyon Run, you have to stay behind them. Like, the person you're chasing, you're, yeah. like, behind them, and there's
if
a
If you
distance.
Overtake them, you win. If you do it fall too far behind, yeah. you lose, and et cetera.
Exactly.
It's more race-based yeah. than this outrun thing.
And also, it had different drift mode in that, didn't it?
Yeah.
It was, like, slightly different drifting and stuff.
But Mix moaned at me about this,
and so therefore, there's the correction.
There you go, Mix. Even though you're not listening to this.
Mm-hmm. Of course not, because you skipped it to go for the anime section.
We didn't have to do that after all.
Okay, so we got some music now. This is some more blues rock, and it's from the Detonators with Nine Kinds Are Ugly. we apologise, basically. We thought it was really cool. Why did we choose this?
I mean, no, the words are strange.
Yeah, we're not, like, sexist or anything.
No, not at all. It's just the words made us laugh.
Yeah, they did.
But the song itself and the music's quite cool.
And you can... Their website is thedetonators.org, but don't visit the site. And thanks to music.podshow.com.
It's an awful site, honest to God.
Oh my God.
It's like...
It's enough to put you off playing their music.
Yeah.
No offence to thedetonators.org.
I doubt they're going to listen.
Scratch on Hagar. Okay, so I hope you enjoy this.
And see you back after the music.
Indeed.
Good from the neck on down. She's nine kinds of ugly. She's nine kinds of ugly. She's nine kinds of ugly, but the rest of her show is fine. You should see that girl shake her stuff. From the back she's great, but from the front she's rough. And when she turns around, my God, what a sight. I only take her out in the middle of the night, cause she's nine kinds of ugly. She's nine kinds of ugly. She's nine kinds of ugly, but the rest of her show is fine. She really looks
looks good after 9 or 10 drinks, 'cause she's 9 kinds of ugly. She's 9 kinds of ugly. She's 9 kinds of ugly, but the rest of her sure is fine.
Okay, we hope you enjoyed that song from The Detonators with 9 Kinds of Ugly.
9 Kinds of Ugly.
Now, Mix Wizard.
Hello.
Hello, Mix. How are you doing? You've probably just skipped to this point because, like, you skip, you listen to a bit of the music or whatever, and you've, like, you know, you skip the anime section, which was before the music, right?
Yep.
Wrong! The anime section is now. You've just skipped all the gaming stuff. Bad luck. He will probably know anyway, because as he's doing the skipping to find it, he'll realise that's gaming, not anime. But anyway.
Well, maybe.
Maybe not.
We should put a link on the site for the exact time when
yeah.
the gaming starts. So.
Yeah, we should. So we now got the anime section mix. So if you've just skipped everything and you've skipped the gaming section, then you have been owned, bitch!
However, if you just listen to the anime game section now, you're about to start skipping.
We've been owned,
bitch!
Okay, so anyway, you've got a review and some news to do.
I have indeed. So, again, like I said earlier, with our little Fool of Mix, we have actually got some anime stuff this week, and I apologise for it last episode. This wasn't really enough stuff to do, so I didn't see the point in doing it. But this time, I'm going to start doing maybe a thing that could be a regular thing on the show.
Maybe.
I'm going to do a forum-based review.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you visit the forums, which I know quite a lot of listeners do, even if they don't, like... I know I've seen a couple of the members, they've never posted, but they do read.
But they register,
So, if you notice that on our anime section, we have a couple of people, mainly Moonlit, Proen, and the Sharmus, who are the anime fans, really contributing towards the anime section, which makes my life a hell of a lot easier.
Of course.
And so... Proen and the Sharmus have gone together and they've done a almost like a joint review for an anime called Elfen Lied. Now, I haven't seen this at all, apart from the first episode.
Right.
So, my views are biased on the first episode and relatively uninformed. So, I'm really going off the info they've given me. So, I want to see if this kind of review works. Right. If it doesn't work and it's not a very good review, then we'll scrap this idea and I'll just do the reviews I've done, you know, anime I've seen.
Yep.
But if it works well and people like it, we'll, you know, maybe start doing more of these things.
Yep.
Okay. So, getting on with the review. So, it's called Elfen Lied. No idea why it's called Elfen Lied. I think Lied's a German word, or Elfen Lied itself is German or something. I think Sharman's mentioned that. And it's the original concept of it. I think it was manga first, but it came to fame with this anime, I believe. Was done by Lin Okamoto.
Right.
And the Anime House production, which, you know, created this thing, created the anime, is called ARMS, or ARMS. I'm not sure if it's, you know, either.
Yep.
Now, the basic plot summary of the anime is it's based around this girl called Lucy.
Right.
And she's
a very Western name for an anime.
That's true, actually. Anime like Western names. They like doing it.
Interesting.
But yeah, you're right. It's based around this girl, Lucy, and she's not human.
Right.
Ooh, spooky. Ooh.
Is she an elf and lead?
Shut up.
That's what I actually seriously thought. I thought this was about elves.
Yeah, I guess you could be mistaken since it has elf in the first three letters.
Exactly.
It's about this girl called Lucy who's not human, and she's actually what's called a Declonius. I think I pronounced that right.
Right.
the colonists look just like humans, and they're indistinguishable from them, apart from these like horns they have on their head.
Right, it's kind of a big giveaway.
No, they're not that easy to see. They're kind of almost hidden.
Yeah.
But you can see them. You know, if you've ever seen like an anime cat girl, for example.
Oh yeah.
Right. It's almost like that, but like lesser extent. You know.
Yeah.
It makes it so that you can know they're a Draconius, but you can barely tell anyway. Yeah. With the gore and blood that flows around them. I'll get onto that in a minute.
Okay.
The general idea behind the Colonius is that they're an off-breed of humans, I believe, that have supposedly been sent by God, I think, who wants to, like, punish humans or something. And the Colonius are basically a predator to humans, and they're going to kill them all.
Right. Hence the blood and gore and death.
Hence the blood and gore and death.
Mm-hmm.
and general maiming and misfortune.
That's beside the point.
Indeed.
Yeah. Now, the Colonius have these special abilities, and their main one, which is apparent, but not apparent, so to speak. I'll explain in a minute. They have these things called vectors, which are almost like these invisible arms. Now, I believe they sprout from their spinal column or something, and each Colonius had different amount of vectors and different range of these vectors, and they can do different things, you know. So the Colonius can use the vectors to, you know, simply move a door out of the way, you know, simply open a door, or they can use it as a weapon and, you know, slice through a human or something.
Right.
That's the idea of these vectors, and they have different ranges. So, for example, Lucy, the main character, has I think she has something like 4 or 5 vectors. I'm probably wrong. So don't flame me. But I know she has her vectors only have a range of 2 meters, whereas some of the other Draconius in the series have a much larger range, so they have, like, you know, greater combat potential.
Right.
So that's really what's special about these Draconius. So that's, like, the series is based around the idea of this new race. You know, of course, there's an inbuilt story to it, but I can't really go into the story too much without spoiling it. So you got Lucy, who's the Draconius, and one of the other main characters is the guy called Kuta. I believe that's how he pronounces his name is. And he's kind of the main male character in the series, because I've noticed that in the series most of the characters are female, so he's like the main male character. And he basically finds Lucy on a beach, right? Unconscious.
Oh.
All right. And yes,
not unclothed.
She was unclothed. In the whole first episode, I think she's naked the whole first episode.
Right. Okay.
There's a reason. There's a reason.
Yes.
He finds Lucy on a beach after she's just, like, done some stuff, but I don't want to spoil it. Okay. But she's got this other personality because of this called New. And the only reason it's called New, this other personality,
because it's new.
Is because, no, not like that. N-Y-U-U.
Ah.
So she's got this other personality called New, and the only reason she's called that is because that's the only word she can say, because she's like different personalities, and she's like stupid in this personality, and she doesn't even know, she's not even aware of her own Draconius race.
Right.
Okay, you see where I'm going with this?
Yep.
Okay. So that's like the basic plot summary, and in general it's about, you know, them going on about things. Sometimes there's fighting between the Draconius and the humans and everything, and sometimes there's like, you know, character development between everybody.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's your average gore and violence anime. But at the same time, because if I just left it at that, probably kill me. at the same time, it's got a very deep character development in it. And I believe there's almost like a romance in it somewhere between some of the characters. And I believe there's some comedy in as well. So, but that's like the basic plot. Now, moving on to the more review style things of this, because, I mean, if you want the real information on that, the best place to go is our forums, because the Shamus and Proen have done a really good...
lifeinhex.com/forum.
And old forums for the Proen's review.
Yeah.
Which we probably should put on the site.
Probably
the news forum.
Mm-hmm.
So moving on to the, like, really more technical part of it. The artwork of the series is, again, it's what I've, like, what I call modern style anime. It's very, you know, clean cut, very obviously CG'd. Drawn anime, and it hasn't got any individuality to its artwork, you know. So you put it next to all the other modern anime like I've reviewed, you wouldn't see a difference in the style.
Yeah.
Which is a shame, because, I mean, it's a really popular series. I know, like, loads of fanboys, like, love it, and some people are treating it like the new Evangelion, for crying out loud. So,
right.
it's really, but the artwork is nothing amazing. It's nice, okay. but that's enough about that. The opening music is very different for an anime, for the usual type of anime.
Right. Isn't it in Latin, did you say?
Yeah, it's in Latin, apparently.
Right.
Well, not apparently, it is in Latin. And if you want a translation of the opening, go on the forum, and the Shams was very nice to translate it for us.
Can he speak Latin?
No, he was just very bored and went onto a translation site.
Oh my God.
But the opening song is in Latin, and it's very slow and very, like, almost opera style.
Right.
It's weird, which is strange considering the ending song. I mean, you listen to the ending song yourself.
It's your standard sort of ending upbeat.
It's a very upbeat song. Very J-poppy song, and it's really good. I mean, we both quite liked it.
Yeah.
So it's interesting how the music changes. I don't know about the music, you know, in series, simply because they didn't write anything about that.
Yeah.
But I would imagine it's got good instrumental music during, you know, emotional scenes, and it's got
et cetera.
And the voices, I think, are really good. I've heard really good things about the voices, and they really suit, so...
Cool.
One thing that most people really like about the anime is its in-depth story, though. So it makes you think about things, but at the same time, it's light-hearted, which is where people say it's like Evangelion.
Multiple-layered story.
Yeah, so, like, you could get someone who, like, just wants to watch it for the fighting, for example, or the comedy. They could watch it for that, and they won't get any of that subliminal, you know, lower stuff that you won't notice unless you really look for it, which is the enjoyable bit for the, you know, more hardcore anime fans. So yeah, that's about it.
Oh, cool.
So that was Elfin Lied, review of Elfin Lied. If you want you want more information, check out our forums. So overall, the forum rating for this anime is a 9.5, believe it or not.
Right.
Now, this was based on what the few of the people on the forum said and what they thought, and I gave it 9.5. Now, that's the forum rating. The Sephron rating, however, is only a 7 out of 10.
Right.
Now, I know they could probably say, well, that's because you haven't seen it and you can't really appreciate it, etc., etc.
Yep.
This may be true, but from what I'm going off, from what I know about the series, from the artwork, I'm taking everything into consideration other than just the story.
Yeah.
Which is what they're only taking into account. And the artwork is nothing special, you know, the music's nothing new, you know.
Therefore anime.
It's not worth a 10 out of 10. A 9.5 out of 10, 10 out of 10 is perfect, you know. It's not worth a perfect score, is it?
No, it's not.
It's a 7 out of 10. It's good, you know, so it's not perfect. So, yeah, there you go.
Okay, cool.
We've got a bit of new anime news as well, but it's only quick stuff. Speaking of Evangelion, actually, there's going to be four new Evangelion movies.
Cool.
Now, this is quite interesting, to be honest, because, I mean, Evangelion's been out a long time now. It's starting to show its age as a series. But yet they're bringing out brand new movies that they're not even in, you know, in production right now.
Yeah.
So, apparently the movies are going to be semi-standalone. They're going to be set within the series, so, you know, it's within the series timeline. But at the same time, the storyline within the movies is going to be standalone. So if you haven't seen Evangelion, the series, before, you'll be able to understand the movies and enjoy them. Other bit of news is that Takeshi Obata, I'm not sure, I don't think I've mentioned him before because I'm holding back on my review for Death Note. So Takeshi Obata, he's the anime artist and creator of the manga Death Note.
Yep.
And he's done some other stuff as well, which is less known, called Hikiri no Go. And he was arrested.
Shock horror.
Oh my God. When we were writing the show notes earlier.
You're looking for the name of it, and you're like, it was like Toshiba Obata or something like this. And we're looking for the name, and it's like, and I'm just copying and pasting that, and then you...
And then I go to transcribe what you're going to put down next. Was arrested.
I start typing, I'm like, what? What?
Yeah, he was arrested, believe it or not, because he was found in possession of an 8.6 centimeter knife in his car.
That 0.6
when he was pulled over for speeding.
All right, a bit random. But
he claims the knife was in his car because he goes out camping a lot in the countryside.
Because they're out to get him. You know, that little kid in Death Note or whatever is out to get him.
Yeah, I know. So.
Yeah,
serves him right. But like me and Pacamo said, as long as he's allowed to draw while he's in prison, no one cares. Last little bit of news, and this can kind of come in under gaming, but we've already done the gaming. So the new Jump Superstars game, Jump Superstars 2, which has been called Jump Ultimate Stars, which we made the joke
followed
about,
by Jump Wicked Six Stars, and then Jump Godlike Stars.
Stars, and It's got a release date in Japan. It's going to be Japan only, again, obviously.
Uh-huh.
And it's got a release date of the 26th of November. So if you got the last one, get this one.
Mm-hmm. You going to import it?
Yeah, definitely. Because, I mean, I love
Jump Superstars.
Jump Superstars is a great game. Yep. And Jump Superstars 2 is just going to be so much better. You know, so get it.
Indeed.
I command thee.
All right, we've got one little tech thing. Because we haven't really got much time for other things.
Well, we said it was going to be a gaming show, so...
Yeah, so... and that is the news that Windows Vista Release Candidate 1 has been released. Now, I would say, what, they're going to have about 66 release candidates?
No. Don't be so modest. 105.
yeah, Release Candidate 1 has been released both internally to MSDN and TechNet subscribers, and then a couple of weeks later to the general public. I haven't actually tried it myself. I've downloaded it, but my Vista virtual machine is sitting in storage at the moment because I've moved hard drives around and stuff. But apparently, from what I've read, it's actually usable now. You can almost use it as your day-to-day...
More so than the beta client that was released.
You can actually use it as your day-to-day OS now. You could replace XP with it and you'd be all right. I don't advise anyone to do that. You'd be pretty stupid, like Yamara, if you use Windows Vista.
Now.
Yeah. But yeah, the people were very worried about Vista, obviously. You know, they cut so many things and stuff. But I think, you know, the worries are beginning to fade. You know, people are beginning to see, actually, you know, they're doing quite well. Paul Thurrott, as I've always mentioned, winsupersite.com, has an amazing amount of coverage about Windows Vista and has, like, 20 pages of Release Candidate 1 stuff and screenshot galleries and things. Specifically, he's just started doing a Release Candidate 1 review. And you can go and check that out at tinyurl.com/JV72W.
Mm-hmm. And be on the quest line.
When I check it out, I'll give a quick sort of talk about it as well. Because it's in a virtual machine, I can't try out Aero and stuff, but I've tried that already, so it doesn't matter too much.
Well, it's like not going to be massively different in terms of its features from the beta client. It's just like got, you know, more usability, more tweaks to it now. So there's not going to be massive amounts to talk about, but we will report on it.
Yeah. And we'll put this in now because I was going to put it in the plugs and shouts, but last episode we were supposed to talk about ponies.
Ponies.
Because Melodic from the sort of the Hack 5 community has a bit of a thing about ponies. I'm not sure whether it's a pony or ponies.
I think he's been a bit pony.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think he's a bit of a pony. I think he is. Maybe he is a pony.
I don't know.
It's a pony in disguise. Mm. Yeah, so there you go, Melodic. You know, we had a quick chat about ponies.
Well, ponies are like horses, aren't they? Kind of.
Well, not kind of. They are horses.
What makes the difference between a horse and a pony?
That's a good point.
We're going to get emails in from horses.
Oh,
now.
God. There you go. We had a chat about ponies for you, Melodic.
There you go.
Okay.
Hope you're pleased.
Yeah. Okay, so that about wraps up the show.
The show. So, blogs and shouts, we have some this week for a change.
We do.
Some different than the usual ones.
Yep. Shouts to everyone on the forum.
We don't give it enough, but shouts to people on the forum.
Yep.
Because, I mean, we love people who come on the forum, you know, and voice their stuff,
get
voice
involved.
Their opinions, and get involved with Life in Hex and everything. Mm-hmm. The more the better. So, it's like, if you know, hesitating to come on the forum because you're a bit worried about maybe...
IRC.
Or the IRC, a bit worried about the IRC, mm-hmm. because you don't think you will know anyone you won't fit in, or it might be hard or whatever. Don't worry, honestly. You know, come in, please, you know, we really encourage it.
And if you don't know how to get onto IRC, because the Shamus contacted me and said, like,
I told him,
yeah,
to look up the wiki, still couldn't do it.
Yeah. So, you know, give one of us a shout, email us in, we'll put up some links to some guides about
There's
getting on
really
IRC.
There's some really good guides on the internet.
There's
for it.
Some whole IRC stuff, and we're on irc.hack5.org. It's not a big network, you know, no one's going to, like, try and DDoS you or anything. It's not QuakeNet, for crying out loud. So you're perfectly safe. I mean, the servers go down every now and then, but, you know, it's a really small server. I mean, it's, you know, there's only like 200 people on it at any time.
Yeah, so come on, idle on Life in Hex.
Yes. Plugs to myspace.com/katushyoung. Now that's KATUS.
You have performed the ultimate
young.
Sin.
What?
You have performed the ultimate sin.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I know.
You have plugged MySpace.
I know. I'm sorry. But it's only because there's music on there. So
yeah, I know.
Music section. And she was the support. I think she's... Oh, I don't know even. She might be Chechenian or something. She was doing songs in Czech, which is really weird. Anyway, go and listen to the music because it's very, very odd. The stuff on MySpace isn't actually as odd. But she was the support act for Seth Lakeman, who I saw recently. And Seth Lakeman, again, really awesome. Go and check out. Google Seth Lakeman. And go and listen to some music. Moonlit knows who Seth Lakeman is. Seth Lakeman, sort of like indie folk new folk type stuff. Really, really good. Also, you've got a plug.
Yeah, I've got a plug. Plugs to tomshardware.co.uk.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was going through a load of different specs recently for processors, graphics cards, RAM, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been building my new rig and I've been helping the Shams put together his new rig, mm-hmm. and etc. And I'm getting interested in it, yeah. You know, more so than
hardware.
I have been. So I've been really, you know, looking for places where I can learn more about it. And Tom's Hardware is a really good site. You know, it gives you good reviews, gives you good advice, etc.
The unique thing about Tom's Hardware is it has those interactive charts.
The interactive charts are amazing because it really helps the benchmark.
It's got a CPU interactive chart and a graphics card interactive chart.
Mm-hmm.
And has benchmark charts for practically everything under the sun.
I think there's one for the hard drive.
There might be, yeah.
Well.
So go and check them out if you're building new rigs. And finally, we got a shout to the Stig, which is the bot on the Dare, which is the name of my clan. Well, not my clan. It's the clan that I'm in. Is their IRC channel, Clan Dare, on irc.quakenet.org. And shouts to him for the bot battle, because I was experimenting with a couple of bots, linking them up, because me and Mix and I are gonna have a little botnet so that we've got like a redundancy set in the bots.
Which we're going to go into.
Yeah, which we are. One of the episodes we're going to do a bit about botnets and stuff. So listen to the end of this, because we got a little sort of like sketch parody of this bot battle. In fact, it's actually a very accurate reenactment of what happened.
Yes, because we copied the log.
Yep. So listen to this at the end, and also like go on the forum, which the Stig will let you know, as you'll find out. Okay, so that wraps up the show. I'm Gelada.
And I'm Zephyrin.
You can email us in at show@lifeinhex.com.
Or come and drop us a post on the forum at lifeinhex.com/forum.
Or come and visit us on IRC at irc.hack5.org, little pound, hash, character, sign.
Whatever you want to call it if you're in America or the UK.
Life in Hex.
Yes.
That's about it.
And there's many other ways to contact us. We just can't think of them right now. Yeah.
Should we go and have a barbecue?
Yes.
Barbecue.
Definitely. We're going to play some games.
We are.
Goodbye, all.
Goodbye. Anime people are first.
Japan is perverted. But he finds...
Shame on you, Leonard. And overall,
I'm going to get to that.
I know, I was just saying. Is it coral just popping up? It's like really obvious pop up, like Oblivion. You know, Oblivion. You know, you know, Proen, and he's Oblivion. He's like, the grass is coming to attack me because it's like popping up in front of me.
Because it was like graphic.
Zephyrin's modern anime.
I'm gonna coin it. Yeah, I'm gonna. What's it? Trademark it.
Manime.
Seth May.
I'm Lara.
I'm Clam.
I'm now called Lara too.
I'm now called Clam too.
I'm now called Lara.
I'm now called Clam.
The Stig sets channel plus Bulera.
No!
The Stig removes operator status from Lara.
You bastard Stig!
The Stig kicks Lara for a nickname flood.
I'm gonna get you for that! I'm gonna unban Lara and remove your operator status! Ha ha!
L gives the Stig operator status.
Ah, shit.
The Stig removes operator status from Clan.
This ain't gonna be good.
The Stig kicks Clan. Owned. Visit the Life in Hex forum to understand this. The Stig commands you, bitch.